This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
السلام عليكم dear viewers from all around the world. Welcome to our series, Nation of Goodness. If you just tuned in for the first time, this is the 10th episode of this series. So if you want to watch the first 9, you don't want to miss them because they go consecutively. They're all tied together. So get on YouTube, Islam Way 71. That's Imam Kareem Abu Zaid's channel, as well as Abu Wan Abdullah. And you can find all, inshallah, episodes there. Of course, I'm joined by Imam Kareem Abu Zaid. Get online, check out his latest thoughts and lectures, www.kareemabuzaid.com. You can check him out also on Guidance TV with his live fatwa show. Let's talk about it. The last 9 episodes, we're talking about why we are the nation of goodness and how do we enjoin the good and forbid the evil. In this episode, the Sheikh will tell us about the consequences of not doing so. That's right, the consequences of not doing so. So without any further ado, let us welcome the Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Kareem.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Malik.
This is a scary episode, I think, Sheikh.
Consequences. It shouldn't. I think at the end of the day, people need to know where they stand on the issues and the consequences. I think a couple of episodes back we talked about the virtues.
Right, that's true.
What you get, you harvest a lot of reward for enjoining good and forbidding evil. Sufficient that you're following the footsteps of the messengers and prophets, sufficient that you belong to the rank of believers and you stay away from the rank of hypocrites, sufficient that whenever you direct somebody to do something which is good, you get a reward similar to their reward.
So it has to be a balance.
So you end up sitting at home and somebody is doing tasbih or praying or fasting, and because of the fact, by the virtue of the fact that you actually educated them to do this, you get rewarded. There are consequences. And consequences, I think, once it comes to enjoining good and forbidding evil, Malik, is devastating.
True. Strong word, Sheikh.
Can I tell you why?
Please.
There is a beautiful hadith called Hadith al-Nu'man ibn Bashir في صحيح الإمام البخاري. مثل القائم على حدود الله والواقع أو المداهن اللفظ الآخر فيها. I'm going to give the meanings here. The likeness of those who enjoin good and forbid evil and those who are not, whether by doing the evil themselves and not doing the good themselves, or whether they see people doing it and they do not speak about it, they compromise with them, they do not enjoin it, they do not forbid it. So the likeness of those are like those two groups. Like a group of people, كمثل قوم استهموا على سفينة. They found a ship. They want to go someplace. And to begin with, they don't like one another. It's obvious because the first group enjoins good, forbids evil. Those what you call fanatics. Those what you call extremists.
You get labeled that,
Whatever you would have called it. But the others are, you know, wishy-washy, you know.
Right. Go with the flow.
Oh, go with the flow. and they have all these misconceptions about the matter, which we'll explain in the future.
Okay.
So they got in a ship. It happened that the ship has two decks, two levels.
Okay.
The lower one has no exit whatsoever to get water. It's like one of the shut down. It's like a basement, like you're living in a basement without any exits.
Okay.
That you cannot actually get water whatsoever.
Okay.
So for them to get water, what do they have to do? They have to climb up and go to the upper deck of the ship in order to bring their water, and then they go down.
And so forth.
So the people in the upper level, they started being irritated. Guys, every time you're coming upstairs, what is this?
Right.
You're bothering us.
Right.
Look at this now. The people in the lower deck of the ship, the lower level of the ship, they thought about solutions. This hadith is so beautiful. You know why? Because it really invites you to think that the people in the lower deck, they didn't have a bad intention.
Right.
Just to let you know that some people, they may do things out of good intention,
right,
but it's still the wrong thing.
Yeah, right.
Having the good intention, you know, is not sufficient.
Right, right.
Whether the act is correct or not, this is what matters.
Right.
So they said, "What? Well, you know what? Let us dig a hole in the bottom of the ship, and we're going to get our water out." Now, if the people in the lower deck allow them to do this, what is going to happen?
They're all going to drown.
The whole
ship.
This
is the point. Right.
This is why it's devastating.
Right. If you don't do it, it's going to kill
if
everybody.
If you do not enjoin good and forbid evil in your community, it will spread.
And we learn from this, it hurts the people that are good. If you don't, that's the point.
One day, Malik, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he woke up from his sleep disturbed. Subhanallah, waylul lil Arab min sharrin qad iqtarab. Woe to the Arabs, an evil that broke. An evil observer. And then he said, "Futiha al-yawma min radmi Ya'juj wa Ma'juj," and he did like this. Today, Gog and Magog, those two corrupting tribes who are behind a wall, they were able to dig a hole in the wall as big as this, meaning that they are about to break through.
Right.
Then Zainab bint Jahsh, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, anahlaku wa fina salihun. Are we going to be destroyed when we have righteous people amongst us?" He said, "Yes." Why? إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثِ, when evil spread. Why? Why did those righteous people do something about this evil?
Right.
So, when a collective punishment befalls the community, the righteous and those who did it are going to be punished. Malik, I have never reflected upon the fact why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an decided to fight, beside, of course, the legitimate evidence that he had, because to fight those who
withheld the zakat.
Yes.
Right.
Subhanallah, I never thought about this from that angle.
What do you mean? Explain to me.
Okay, Hadith Ibn Majah, Hadith Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, fi Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah. Look at this. Hadith Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he addressed the immigrants. And he said, "Ya ma'ashar al-muhajirin, O immigrants, khamsu khisalin idha btulitum bihin, wa a'udhu billahi an tudrikuhun." Five things that I'm concerned that you may be inflicted by them, and I seek refuge with Allah that you do not get there. And he mentioned one of them, وَمَا مَنَعَ قَوْمٌ زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا وَمُنِعُ الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمُ مَا أُمْطِرُوا. And if a community, the rich and the wealthy in that community, refrain from paying zakah, look at the collective punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop rain from coming down. And has it been for the animals? Because the animals, they need water. They need to eat grass, vegetation. But wouldn't been for the animals, you would not receive these little
raindrops
every now and then. You see, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq fought them because it will bring about what?
Collective punishment.
Collective punishment to the whole community. And this is why it's devastating. And you know, Malik, the issue here that, yes, you may be living in a corrupt society, in a bad society, but you are doing the task of enjoining good and forbidding evil. But yet you're not changing things.
Right, exactly.
You know, if a collective punishment comes down, Allah will save you. Not in the sense of the dunya. You may die with them. You may die with them, but you're going to go to Jannah.
Can you give us some example?
This example, Hadith al-Mahdi.
Yeah.
Hadith al-Mahdi, al-Hadith al-Bukhari, Hadith al-Musalama, Hadith Aisha al-Musalama. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when Imam al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hasani, not al-Husayni, Imam al-Mahdi according to the people of the Sunnah, not the one in the tunnel for that sci-fi stuff. That's okay. Imam al-Mahdi, we don't want to get there. But Imam al-Mahdi, when he's in Mecca, an army will come out of Iraq, and a wording come out of Syria, from the east, يعني, to fight Imam al-Mahdi. Miraculously, subhanallah, earth will swallow this army. Then Aisha, I believe if I'm not mistaken, will say, said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, for sure around this army there are people who do not even know what's going on.
Innocent people, righteous people.
They say, they will die like them. وَيُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ الرواية الأخرى وَيُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى أَعْمَالِهِمْ And they will be resurrected according to their intention. So, they were not guilty of the act. They did something about it. Yet they were punished like them, but they will be resurrected in a different place than
the disbelieving people.
Right. So الشاهد or the important thing is, if you do not enjoin good and forbid evil, collective punishment. Right. But you know, add to the issue of collective punishment, that's another hadith Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman fi Sunan al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually took an oath. والذي نفسي بيدي, by the one whose hand my soul is. You better enjoin good and forbid evil. Otherwise, what is going to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize you with a collective punishment. But here's the dangerous piece. ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ Then you will call upon Allah. Ya Allah, remove this inflection. Remove this calamity. Ya Rab, Allah will not answer you. You see the consequences here? That you make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift this, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer this. وفي مسند أحمد حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها مروا بالمعروف وانهوا عن المنكر قبل أن تدعوا فلا يستجاب لكم. Enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil before you make dua and then your dua is not going to answer, is not going to be answered. So we're talking about collective punishment, we're talking about collective corruption in the society, we're talking about people could be dying, we're talking about a lot of problems in the ummah, and then we make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer our dua. That is why we need to go back to our senses as an ummah, and we need to enjoin good and forbid evil.
And this is truly catastrophic. In the next segment, Sheikh, can you give us some stories about the civilizations before us who were destroyed for this reason.
Absolutely.
Okay, inshallah. Inshallah. You guys stay tuned for more from Imam Kareem Abu Zaid. We'll be right back.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Islamic Jeopardy.
Audience, viewers, are you guys ready for another round of Islamic Jeopardy? All right, let's go ahead and begin.
It's Islamic Jeopardy, the spirit of contributions for the sake of Allah. The exciting yet informative, it is Islamic Jeopardy. Join us on Islamic Jeopardy, the quiz show featuring trivia in fiqh, akida, history, poetry, riddles, science, Arabic, and other topics. When you love. The awaited Halal Fun is finally here. Praise him every day.
Praise him every day. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Welcome back, you guys, to episode number 10 of our series, your series, Nation of Goodness. We're talking about consequences. And Imam Kareem, you really laid down some catastrophic, truly catastrophic consequences to not enjoining the good and forbid the evil. Has this happened to the civilizations before us?
Absolutely. That's how they went down the drain.
Right.
How they went down the drain. How? Right. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the people of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Excellent.
Homosexuality. Right. Why did Allah destroy them?
Openly. Right. And finally,
right.
Destroyed them.
Listen, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a clear statement, if you do not stop the evil, you see, if the evil is done inside the home, for example, خلاص, there is nothing we can do about it.
It's not your work to spy on him.
No, it is not your job. But the moment that you disclose this evil and the people are standing, not doing anything about it, And I know we're going to go into some misconceptions regarding people refraining from changing that evil. One of them is that hurriya shakhsiya thing, that personal freedom.
Personal freedom, right.
Listen, what do you mean by personal freedom? Listen, in the West, for example, now, even so they know that the Roman Empire was taken down the drain.
Right. One of the most mighty empires ever on the face of earth.
Yeah. Ever existed.
Right.
Rome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غُلِبَتُ الرُّومُ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ. It was a Quran revealed about them.
Yeah.
One of the things that took them down was that moral degradation.
Yes. Yeah, which we see today in many societies.
Which we see. We're talking about now people are homosexual trying to get married.
Yeah.
And the people are not doing anything about it.
Right.
There is a sexual education in the sense of adultery is okay, condoning these things in the society and in the community.
Right.
Listen, if شوف الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث ابن ماجه, the hadith that I just quoted earlier, hadith ibn Umar, which is the five things, O immigrants, if you see.
Right.
One of them, look at this, وَمَا ظَهَرَتِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا. And if الفاحشة here means what? Adultery in particular,
yes.
Homosexuality in particular, emerges in a community and they disclose it. إلا وابتلاهم الله بالطاعون والأوجاع التي لم تكن في أسلافهم من قبلهم. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict them with diseases.
Subhanallah.
Epidemics which their ancestors never experienced.
And we are experiencing it now.
Don't we see this?
Yeah, oh,
come on, people.
Yeah. HIV,
come
STDs.
Come on, people. Don't we see it? Oh, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that.
Yeah.
That when you have fahisha and you disclose it,
forget it.
End of story.
HIV, STDs, end of
all
story.
All type, mad disease, cow disease, all
everything.
Type of things.
Yeah.
Why are we hearing about these things? Because what we see, especially riba and zina, those two.
Right.
Actually, there is a hadith for Musnad about riba, usury, and about adultery in particular. Those two sins, if they are openly being committed, then you're really exposing the whole community at large to this. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَتَأْخُذُنَّ عَلَى يَدِ الظَّالِمِ. Make sure that you stop the oppressor. You stop that person from doing this because it will get to you sooner or later.
Right. Poison.
Another thing, Malik, if it's not collective punishment, if it is not that you make dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to answer your dua, ضَرْبُ الْقَلْبِ.
Meaning?
That your heart becomes contaminated, that because you're so getting used to see that evil,
like
your heart doesn't see it evil anymore.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion,
this is
the greatest punishment.
Yeah.
That you see somebody sins in front of you and you do not move.
Yeah. You're lost. You're lost. You're dead.
You're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. In my opinion, ضرب القلب ولذلك إيه. That is why you're not supposed to stay in the vicinity of a sin.
This is the wisdom.
This is the wisdom. Why? Because the more you see it, the more you get used to it. It becomes part of your fabric.
You let down your guard, no. As they say.
I was telling a story with my community about this matter. That Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini told us this story. He said that when he went to Europe, Nisallah Yashfiya, he went to Europe to deliver some talks there. So the brothers from the community, they picked him up at the airport. And they are taking him from the airport to the place where he lives and where he's supposed to be staying. So they needed gas on the way. So they stopped by a gasoline station. So, you know, they went inside to pay. The sheikh thought about coming out of the car, you know, just
stretch
his legs a little bit and, you know, smell some air. And from a distance, he saw a boy and a girl kissing. Of course, for us here in the Muslim world, we don't see that.
Right.
We do not see that somebody, you know, hugging and kissing and they are, I mean, you don't do that.
Over there's the least of their problems.
Yeah. I mean, over there is what?
Yeah.
So right away, the sheikhs, he said, my face turned red. And I, you know, I started really reacting in a very, because that's for evil.
Yeah.
I mean, evil. You don't do this. Even husband and wife, you should not do this.
Of course. Right.
Because nobody knows, you know, what is this. And you shouldn't do this. It's personal. Go inside and so forth. So The brothers who are picking him up at the airport, they were inside the store and they saw the reaction of the sheikh. And they looked at one another and they smiled. They looked. And then he spotted them. The sheikh spotted them smiling. So later on when he went to the place where they are supposed to be staying, and he called them, come here. Why were you smiling when you saw me looking funny or looking
angry right.
When I saw that scene which you spotted as well? Because they said, you know what, Sheikh, because we said to one another, I think after a month, the Sheikh stays here, he's not going to react so this way anymore.
Because you become dead to it.
Why, brothers and sisters in Islam, why do we read this hadith that I disclaim a person who stays amongst the mushriks?
Yes, this is
أنا بريء ممن يقوم بين ظهراني الكفار المشركين. I'm sorry, the hadith. Why? Even through the hadith, there is a authenticity issue, but there are others who support it and so forth.
Okay.
Because when the fire of a believer and a fire of a mushrik cannot be seen by one another, meaning what? Total separation. Why, dear viewers? Why? Because when you live in the area of shirk, when you live in the vicinity of shirk, what you see becomes normal, then your heart becomes what? Corrupt.
Right.
Your heart will not see it evil anymore. Listen, brothers and sisters in Islam, the reaction of the universe, when they hear somebody says, Allah begets a son, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. Indeed, they say the most merciful begets a son. You are saying something that is awful. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ. The heavens are about to split asunder because of this. وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ. And earth is about to split open. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّ. And the mountain about to fall down. Why? Look at the reaction of the universe. أَنْدَعَوْ. Because they heard those people saying, Allah begets a son. I want to tell you how many Muslim brothers and sisters in America, in the West, they hear a Christian in front of them say, Jesus, the son of Allah. And they don't react. Because it became what?
Normal.
Normal. That is why we talk about education, that you must have Islam when we talk about building a better future, if you recall that series, why we said you must remove your children out of that area.
Right.
One of the fathers approached me the other day. My son, the other day I was sitting with us and he got upset. And you know what he said? Jesus.
This is a problem.
He called upon Jesus. His son.
Because he's heard this so much in
the
West.
He heard it.
And now you repeat what you hear.
He heard it. Yeah. Why Muslims now say, what the gosh? What gosh? Is it?
Gosh?
Right. Huh? They say gosh. Huh? Why they say geez?
Right.
Even so, they don't want to say Jesus. They want to say, and they say cheese.
Right. Huh?
They want to say, why? Because they are used to it. They became familiar with the sin. In my opinion, if we're not going to consider the serious consequence, which is the collective punishment,
right,
the collective corruption in the society, that the society will become corrupt, will become spoiled for you to live in. Add to this, you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah does not answer your dua. In my humble opinion, the most devastating impact, serious consequence, if you see evil and you do not change it, the hand, the tongue, or the heart, you retreat, that your heart will become corrupt. You're not going to see the evil anymore. You're not going to know this is good or this evil. You become confused. And a Muslim should not be like that.
Sheikh, we're living in this time of serious corruption. We are living in these times which you have described now. And many Muslims have abandoned enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. How can we get back to a better time by implementing this practice, I think?
I think the next episode we want to talk about the type of Muslims, once it comes to that command,
okay,
we already mentioned Malik, that it's mandatory.
Yeah, you've cleared.
We have text. Right. We have ijma' al-umma.
Consensus, we say.
Consensus.
Right.
Al-ijma' naqalahu al-imam Muslim fi sharh al-imam an-Nawawi, afwan, fi sharh al-Sahih Muslim.
Okay.
Al-imam an-Nawawi compiled ijma' al-umma, the consensus of the jurists of the ummah regarding enjoining good and forbidding evil, at least with the heart.
Okay.
Ijma' al-imam al-Jassas, al-imam ibn Atiyah, al-imam ibn Muhammad ibn Hazm, all of those, they compiled, they mentioned that there is a consensus amongst the jurists regarding it is mandatory upon Muslims to enjoin good and forbid evil, at least with the heart, with the hand, the tongue, based on their ability and the assessing of good and right. bad consequences and the basically the impact of Perfect. This act upon them. We find the Muslims into two or three groups. Group number one, alhamdulillah, they are doing it.
Very small group.
But very minority group.
Right.
And the evidence is what?
Look at
our
situation. Yeah.
Too much evil. Yeah. Yeah. That means not enough people are enjoining good and forbidding evil.
Right.
There is another group which is the overwhelming majority of the Muslims, they have abandoned enjoining good and forbidding evil, but we want to give them the benefit of the doubt. They have misconceptions.
They have a lot of excuses. You're going to
yes.
misconceptions.
We
want to
address those. We want to address those the next episode. Okay. And then we have the group which is, mashallah, they are doing it, but we need to tweak it. We need to show them.
They're doing it wrong.
Wrong. Hopefully they watched the last three or four episodes. We're going to give them some helpful hints, inshallah, on how to go about it. So this way, if we can mobilize more Muslims to do this job, I think we're going to be in a better hand.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Thank you for your time, Sheikh Kareem. You guys at home, don't miss the next episode of Nation of Goodness. Sheikh Kareem is taking us to some interesting places. He's going to tell us about the three groups of people, the Muslim people, regarding this, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. So you want to know where you fall in and if you're in the right group. So until next time, I leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون